and go to Philippians chapter 4. And if you're using the church Bible, it's page number 1223. Grab your handout and be ready to go. Life can get crazy. Can I get an amen to that, huh? Life can get very crazy. Life gets busy. And most people live under a barrage of pressures and demands and deadlines and aggravations. Anybody in here ever get aggravated? Ambitions, all these things. And we're running hard, man. We are running hard. We are burning up a lot of energy. Sometimes we're just flat out burning out, you know? And there's a lot of activity many times, but we feel like we're not getting anywhere. You ever feel that way? Like you're just, you know, you're a lot of activity, but I'm just not getting anywhere. And, you know, when I thought about that, you know, a lot of activity but not getting anywhere, I was reminded of when I was a kid and my parents let me have a pet hamster, gerbil, whatever you want to call it. I don't know if you guys ever had one of those. But one of the things that fascinated me when I would watch my gerbil there in his little home is that we had a wheel for him. Anybody ever see a gerbil on a wheel? And so I think I got a little thing there. Yeah, and it's there, we got it? Yeah, there it is. And I remember watching my gerbil, and he'd get up on that wheel. And I thought it'd be really cool for my kids to have one. And my wife said, you can call that a gerbil. You can call that a hamster. She said, that's nothing but a little rat. And she said, that is not coming in my house, all right? So, but I had one when I was a kid. And I remember looking at him on the wheel like that. And I remember thinking, Mr. Gerbil, has it occurred to you that you're running fast, but you aren't getting anywhere on that wheel? You know, you're a dumb hamster, man, you know, and you are spinning fast, but you're going nowhere. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, how can he spend his whole life going faster and faster on a wheel to nowhere? How many of you have ever felt like a hamster on a wheel? Be honest. Don't you think that kind of describes us sometimes? I mean, we are running like crazy. We're going in different directions. Each member of the family is going, and we feel like that hamster on that wheel, you know? And people today are so stressed out. By the way, you can take the video off now. That goes for 10 hours, so we're not going to watch that for 10 hours. But people are so stressed out today. The other day, Denise and I were at a store in the parking lot, and people were honking and yelling at each other, and you know, and they're like, oh, you got my parking place, and now I got to walk 5 more steps, you know, how dare you. And Denise, she was like, you know, she says, people just really aren't kind anymore by and large, are they? And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I said, people are scowling and they're like ready to jump on you, you know? And I commented to her, I'm like, you know, you're right. I said, it seems like the society we live in is just so stressed out. And I said to her, I commented, the computer / cell phone / technological age has not made people any happier. People seem to be more stressed out, more on edge, and more meaner than they've ever been before. And I'm not being cynical. I'm just making an observation because I believe there's plenty of kind people out there, which, by the way, I think some of the kindest people in this town are here at Crossroads. What do you think, huh? I mean that. We got some really kind people, and that's why you really stick out. When you leave the building here and you're kind, You stick out, you know, because we were kind to a lady the other day. She was raising some money for St. Jude's, and I put some money in there, and just really, I was just very kind. Denise was very kind, and so she's like, you know, do you go to church? We're like, yeah, I go to church most of the time. And she's like, where do you go to church? Crossroads. And she is what she said. She said, I want to go to your church. I have heard so many good things about your church. And she didn't know I was the pastor. I never did tell her. I'm hoping she'll show up and see me and go, hey. But there's nice people out there. There really are. But people are pretty stressed out, man. They're pretty intense today, you know, by and large. And sometimes we even convince ourselves that a stressed out life is normal. I mean, after all, isn't everybody living the same crazy lifestyle, you know? But let me ask you a question. Did God intend for a believer in Jesus Christ to live a stressed out life, yes or no? He did not. In fact, we're going to look in the Bible today and we're going to see clearly God said that is not how a believer in Christ was meant to live. And so the message this morning is kind of introductory. We're going to get into this series, and this morning's important. It's going to lay a foundation for the rest of the series, so I'm glad you're here. I want to begin, before I give you three biblical, just Bible-based, divine truths about peace, before I get into that, by way of introduction, I want to give you three thoughts about stress. Number one is this. You ready? Write this in. Number one, stress is the opposite of peace. If you look at the banners, you'll notice we got new banners up, and I did them that way on purpose. I got stress on one side, peace on the other, because I want you to see that they're opposites, okay? And if you look at stress, what is stress? Well, this is one definition in the dictionary. Stress is a state of mental or emotional strain or tension. That's stress. Another definition, which is actually the primary one, that's the one we think of when we think of stress today, but the primary definition with Webster's Online was this. It defines stress as a force exerted when one body or body part presses on, pulls on, pushes against, or tends to compress or twist another body part. And I thought, whew, I thought, man, those stress verbs fit us all too well many times. You know, pressed on, pulled on, pushed against, compressed, twisted. But what I want you to see is that God's answer to stress is peace. And I want to show you right in the Bible. Go to Philippians 4, and this could not be any clearer what God's answer is for stress. Look at Philippians 4, 6 and 7. All right? This is the authority, the Bible. And notice that it says a command. Verse 6, this is a command. Be careful for nothing. Now let's stop. Look up here. Careful doesn't mean like, oh, I got to be careful. I don't knock into this. You know, careful there is an old English word, and it literally means anxious. You've heard of anxiety. I have a lot of anxiety in my life. That's what that word means. When he says be careful for nothing, he's literally saying be stressed out for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Let's read on. All right. He says, but, okay, here's what you need to do instead of that. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto who? God. So he's saying there, hey, don't be stressed out, but instead trust God. You need to learn to take things to the Lord. You've got to learn to lay them at his feet. You've got to learn to walk with him and trust him. Well, when we begin to trust him, instead of just going around stressed out all the time, look at verse number 7. He says, here's the promise, and the peace of God. Say that with me, and the what? Peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep. That word keep is a military word. It means to guard or protect. He says, I am going to keep, I am going to guard, I am going to protect. Two things. Look at it. Come on, learn. Let's go. Keep your, I'm going to guard your, number one, what? Heart. That's the seat of your emotions. Right? He said, I'm going to guard your heart, your emotions, and what else is he going to guard? Your minds. Notice the peace of God is going to keep. It's going to guard your heart and your minds. How? What's the last part of the verse say, church? Through Christ Jesus. Stress is the opposite of peace. You cannot be filled with stress and be filled with peace at the same time. It's impossible. It's kind of like you cannot sneeze with your eyes open. Did y'all know that? You cannot sneeze with your eyes. I mean, I guess you could forcibly hold them open. I don't know. Don't try that, all right? But you cannot sneeze and have your eyes open at the same time, right? So isn't that cool? We learn deep things at Crossroads, amen? But, you know, you cannot, well, in the same way, you cannot have stress and peace simultaneously. They're opposites, okay? So that's number one. Number two, stress is no respecter of age. This stress is not an adult thing anymore, all right? It begins very young. The word carefree just does not describe children today as it once did. Children are not carefree. I as a kid, I think I lived a pretty carefree life. I mean, I went to school. When I was in elementary school, they didn't send you home with homework. I mean, if you were focused at school and did what you're supposed to do, you never had homework when I grew up. You know, you got out at 2:30, 3 o'clock, and man, I had playing on my mind. And I would go outside, and I'd play with my friends until mom said, time for supper. And I hated it when she'd say that, you know, because I didn't want to have to go inside, you know. And but you know, carefree used to describe children. It does not describe kids anymore. You know, I remember one time, I don't remember if it was you or Clayton, Caleb, but I remember you all were so stressed out one day. And I'm like, what is the problem? And you're like, oh, I'm just so worried. And I'm like, well, what are you worried about? And you said, I'm just so worried because I want to play football with my friends after school. And I'm just so worried that it might rain. And I'm like, I said, son, I wish that was the number one worry in my life. Kids, man, but today kids are not carefree. Today kids are under relentless pressure to perform in everything from Little League to travel ball to Pop Warner to beauty pageants to A Honor Roll to competing for college scholarships. Compete, you know, you gotta, and they got all this stress and all this pressure. And then they get up into the teen years and the college years. And then they're under this crushing pressure and peer pressure and so many critical issues that are going on. And not to mention, they deal with things that I didn't have to deal with. They're dealing with what their friends said about them on Facebook, or they're worried about Instagram and internet and the cell phones and all that, you know, and they got all that on them. And so, but you know what the glorious part is? Woo, man, it's good stuff. The glorious part about it, then married life comes and stress is over. Amen? Yes. Why are they laughing? If I could just get married, my stress will be over. You guys are laughing. That's pretty funny, isn't it? You married people are laughing. I'm going to meet Mr. Right, Prince Charming, and stress will be over for me. That's pretty funny. Because you know what happens when you get married? Remember the hamster on the wheel? Now there's two hamsters on the wheel. Right? Watch this. Yeah, nobody gets hurt, I promise you, animal lovers. Oh! He's okay. He's okay. Woo! Isn't that great? Hey, two people on the wheel ain't what it cracked up to be, amen? I'm going to get married and stress will be over. Two people on the wheel at one time, man. It's not what it's cracked up to be sometimes. But now you get married and there's two on the wheel, right? Then children come. Whoa. And as they grow, you know, we're just a little bundle of joy, you know. And then as they grow up, those kids have their own opinions. Have you noticed that? They know how to parent better than you do. And they got their opinions, they got their schedules, they got their wants, they got their desires, they know what they want to do. And so now, guess what? Now there isn't one on the wheel. Now there's not two on the wheel. Go ahead, hit it. Now there's four on the wheel. Hey, get out of my way. No, you get out of my way. I'll just climb on your back. You know, hey, just get out of my way here, you know. And what? One's falling off the wheel, you know. And you can cut it. But I hope you're getting the visual here, all right? You know, and then guess what happens next? Midlife comes. Midlife with all its insecurities. Is time passing me by? Do I need to do something different? Is my life making a difference? Why am I getting these wrinkles? How can I be young? How can I look young again? Now the wheel really starts turning. Kids are growing up with their schedules. We're trying to look young. You know, we're at the height of our work careers usually in midlife. Bills are piling up because we've overspent. And then, but praise God, the senior years come and retirement comes and there's no more stress after that. Right, seniors? Right? See, you seniors are laughing, right? The senior years have its own set of problems. Amen, seniors? So what am I saying? Stress is no respecter of age. All right? Number three, stress distorts everything else in life. Stress distorts everything else in life. Stressed out people are not much fun to be around. No, I'm just being honest. Stressed out people are not much fun to be around. They just aren't. And the reason why is because stress distorts everything else in life. Stress distorts family relationships. It distorts friendships. It distorts your work perspective. Stress distorts your feelings, your physical well-being. All those things are distorted when you're stressed out. Many times, though, we grasp at things and we look forward to events. And we think that's going to relieve the stress. That's going to be the golden key. And that's going to bring peace. And we get a bad case of the as soon as. Well, as soon as I get in high school, I'm going to get off the wheel. As soon as I get out of high school, life's going to slow down. I'm going to get off the wheel. You know, as soon as I get a car, as soon as I get a job, as soon as I get a raise, as soon as I get married, you know, as soon as I get a house, as soon as I get a bigger house, right? As soon as I finish this project, I'm going to get off the wheel. As soon as we have kids, as soon as I have kids, they're going to bring such joy to my life, I'll be off the wheel. You know, and then it's, you know, I'll get off the wheel as soon as I get a vacation, as soon as I get my pension, as soon as I get to retirement, and then it's as soon as I get something to do now that I'm retired because I'm bored, right? Because I'm bored. My point is this, every as soon as opens the door to another. So stress distorts everything else in life. Trust me, none of those things are going to bring you peace. Even though we think they will, they won't. So that brings me to this. I want to give you three Bible-based, timeless, divine principles about peace. Number one is this, okay? And we're going to look in God's Word and see this. Number one, peace is personal. This is so crucial, and I want you to hear me and get this because this is foundational for the rest of the series, all right? There is a song that says this. You ready? It says, "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." Well, we know doctrinally there won't be peace on earth until Jesus returns, but there is some truth in that song. Because if there's going to be peace in my family, if there's going to be peace in my home, if there's going to be peace in my office, if there's going to be peace in my relationships, then it must begin with me. Really, within me would be the better way to say it. The peace has to start within me. We live in a very chaotic world, guys, and that's, I hate to disappoint you, that's not changing. That's not changing. That's not going away. We live in a chaotic, crazy world, and that's not changing. And so the only hope of finding peace in our chaotic environment is finding personal peace. And that is what God is offering to believers in Christ. In fact, almost every single letter that Paul wrote to the church, he's mentioned grace and peace. Go to Philippians 1. Let me show it to you. Flip back to chapter 1. Same book. Just flip back a couple pages to chapter 1. And here's an example. Look at Philippians 1, 2. He's writing to the church. He's writing to saints that are in Christ. And he says in verse 2, "Grace be unto you and peace." And where does it come from, church? Notice it comes from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Look up at the screen. Notice how he starts the book of Romans. "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's go to the next one. Notice, again, he's writing to another church, just like Crossroads. "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Peter, look at the next one, 1 Peter 5:14. He says, "Peace be with you all that are" where? In Christ Jesus. Remember last week we said you're either in Christ or you're in Adam. You're in the family of Adam or you're in the family of Jesus Christ. He says, though, if you're in Christ, your heritage, your right as a believer in Christ is peace. He says, "Peace be with all you that are in Christ Jesus." And so what I want you to see is that peace is very personal, okay? I cannot, as much as I would love to achieve peace for Denise, I cannot. I cannot bring peace to her heart. As much as I would love to be able to bring peace to my kids' hearts, I cannot. I cannot bring peace to their hearts. You see, peace is personal. It's something that you have to do. It has to happen here. It's got to happen right here in your heart. See, and that's what I want you to see. It, you can. God offers it. It's there. It's your right and heritage as a believer in Christ to have peace, but it is very, very personal. Number two, the second thing that's a biblical principle is that peace is not the absence of problems. So let's get that out of our mind. Peace is not the absence of problems. And this is, I want you to look right below that in your handout, John 16:33. Jesus said to his followers, he said, guys, these things have I spoken unto you. That, now take your pen, take your pencil, whatever you got. I want you to circle the words in me, in me. He said that in me, you might have what, church? Peace. In the world, what are you going to have? Problems, right? He says, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And what he's saying there is he's saying, and get the picture. Jesus is speaking. He's got his disciples, his followers gathered around him. And he's like preparing them. He's like, buckle your seatbelt, boys. He said, because guys, he says, in this world, you're going to have problems. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation. He said, but I just want you guys to know that I'm giving you peace. And I want you to know that that peace does not mean the absence of problems. He said, guys, it's an internal peace. It's a peace that you're going to find in me. Those of us that live in Florida know that hurricanes are part, you know, we know about hurricanes. And we know this, that in the middle of every savage hurricane, somebody talk to me, what's in the middle of every hurricane? The eye. Thank you. And that eye, it's perfectly still. And that's what God is offering you. It's not a life without storms. That's not what he's offering you. Now, when we get to heaven, we will. But down here, God cannot realistically offer you a life without storms because Satan's the prince of this world. Sin has cursed this earth. There's sickness, there's disease, there's all those things that sin has brought. And so God cannot promise you a life without storms. But you know what? He's offering you the opportunity to live in the eye. To live in the eye. Remember when Jesus was sleeping in the midst of a terrible storm on the boat? They're out there on the sea, and the storm is coming into the boat, and the thing is sinking, and Jesus Christ is sound asleep. Anybody in here a sound sleeper like that, huh? He's sound asleep in the midst of a storm. To me, that is a beautiful picture of what Christ is offering to us. The peace alternative that God offers to calm your heart, it does not mean a world without storms. But I want you to see that it's possible to live at peace in the eye of the storm, in the eye. Your heart is anchored with peace in the midst of the chaos. So here's what I want you to do, and I want you to really work hard at this with me because we all tend to think this way. But I want you to really work hard with me to get out of your mind the idea, because this is a foundational for the series. I want you to get out of your mind the idea, when this problem passes, I'll have peace. Please get that thought out of your mind. When this problem passes, I'm going to have peace. No, because you know what? As soon as that problem goes away, guess what? You're going to have another problem. There's going to be another disappointment. There's going to be another tragedy. There's going to be another issue. There's going to be another relational problem. There's going to be another heartbreak. Yeah, one problem, you know, usually gives way to another, you know. That's just life. And so I want you to get out of your mind the idea that when the problem goes away, I'm going to have peace. No, God's offering you peace, but it's not a peace that he's offering you without storms. He's offering you peace in the midst of the storm. Peace is personal. Peace does not mean the absence of problems. Last thing is this, number three. Peace is not passive. And boy, this is foundational. It's on the banner up here. We're going to talk about this for just a minute, all right? And again, please don't zone out now, because this is really crucial to the series, all right? This is very foundational to this series. All right, if we have accepted Christ as our Savior, the Bible teaches that we are at peace with God through Jesus Christ. Let me bring a verse up, Romans 5:1. All right. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, I am made right with God. How? Come on, guys. I am made right with God. I am justified by what? Faith. All right. And then it says, notice, we have, what do we have? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So question, is peace with God something he's going to give me one day if I put my faith in Jesus? Or is peace with God something I already have? I've already got it. It's a present possession. The Bible teaches that if I'm saved, if I know the Lord, if I've trusted Christ, that's not something I'm going to get. That's something I have right now. I have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, many times, though, we may have a position of peace with God, but stress is calling the shots on a daily basis. And the reason why is this. You ready? Get this statement. Very important. Peace will not come looking for you. Peace will not come looking for you. You are not going to stumble on it by accident. It has to be proactively sought. Up on the banner up here, do y'all see that? It's also, look in your handout, if you'll look there. It says, depart from evil and do good. And then this last part's up on the banner. It says, let's all say it together. What does the Bible say? Seek peace and pursue it. Wow. Wow. Then I'm not going to just stumble on this. This isn't something that's just going to happen by accident. If I'm going to have inward peace, if I'm going to have a heart that's at peace, this is something I have to pursue. Look at the next verse. It says in Romans 14, 19, Paul writes, let us therefore follow after the things. Now notice this. This is our responsibility. Follow after the things which make for what? Peace. That's what we're going to talk about for the next 6 weeks. How you can follow after things that make for peace in your life. There are some very practical, biblical things that you can do that will help you with this thing of peace. And I mean where you, and by the way, just flip back a couple pages to the book of Ephesians. Go back there. Just go back to the book right before Ephesians, chapter number 4. And look at that verse, verse 3. And notice that action verb at the beginning. Okay? Ephesians 4, 3. Endeavoring. That's a strong word. That means work hard for it. Endeavoring. Endeavoring. Work hard to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of what? Peace. So what's the theme of the Bible? Push for peace. Pursue peace. Work for peace. He told Timothy, follow after peace. Well, I know I need to pursue peace, but how do I do it? How do I get there? And that's what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks. How do we pursue peace? And sometimes it requires some tough choices in your pursuit for peace. But no matter how turbulent your life is right now, no matter how crazy it is, no matter how painful my life may seem right now, peace is there for the pursuing. That's what I want to encourage you with. Peace is there for the pursuing. If I wait for it, it's not going to come to me. If I go after it God's way, I'll find it. In your handouts, another verse, Colossians 3:15. Look at that one. That's a good one, isn't it? And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know what the word rule means? It means to govern, to prevail. Let the peace of God govern your heart, the Bible says. Now, I want you to notice something. And take your pen again and circle a word there. You ready? Look what it says. Let the peace of God rule in, circle the next word. What is it? Your hearts. Again, it's personal. You cannot control anyone's heart but your own. I cannot control my kids' hearts. I cannot control Denise's heart. I cannot control any of your hearts, nor can you control mine. You say, Pastor Dan, do you ever get stressed out? Yeah, I do. Have you got this all figured out? No. But I will say this to you, and I believe my wife would agree with this, that my stressful moments and times are much more far and few between than they used to be. Nobody's perfect. But really, if you're a Christian and you know the Lord, peace should characterize your life on a daily basis more than stress does. You should be growing towards peace. I haven't got it all figured out. But, you know, I think I am at peace most of the time. And it's because of the things that we'll be sharing over the next few weeks. It's not by accident. It's not because I'm lucky or I'm a pastor. No. It's just because of the implementation of God's word. And I think Denise would probably tell you that I'm pretty fun to be around. I'm a pretty fun guy to be around. I'm not wired and stressed out. I'm pretty fun, you know? And like I said, stressed out people aren't much fun to be around. And God doesn't want you to live that way. God wants you to have a heart that's anchored in peace. And so you have to get really honest and you have to say, what's ruling my heart right now for the most part? Not that you don't have happy moments. I'm not talking about having happy moments because you're going to go on vacation. I'm not talking about happy moments because you are on vacation. I'm not talking about a happy moment because you get to go to Disney World and see Mickey. I'm not talking about a happy moment because you get to go see Shamu, all right? I'm talking about a true peace. What for the most part rules your heart? Is it stress or peace? It says in your handout, is stress ruling your heart right now? You have to dethrone it. You got to take action. You can't just hope that circumstances are going to change things. And this series is about how you can pursue peace and allow it to govern your heart for the most part. Question. Y'all answer me now. Is it possible to have peace in a stressful world? Yes or no? Yes. We saw it in the Bible, right? What did I give you at the beginning of the message? The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.